announce that glad salvation's free to all who will receive it. Glad that the news was brought to me when I was lost and sad. Praise his dear name, I can proclaim that truly I believe it. For I am now his child, I know, and I'm so glad. I am so glad that I can tell to wayward souls the story. Glad that by grace from day to day a helper I may be. Finding delight in service true, my soul is winning glory. Glory for him who gave his life to rescue me. I am so glad that all my heart to Jesus I have given. Glad that at eventide my soul true sheaves to him may bring. I will be true until with all the happy throng up in heaven, sweeter and nobler praise I give to Christ my King. Glory, honor be to his name forever. Never a greater friend the sinful race has had. I love him and praise him, Jesus the matchless Savior. He has redeemed this soul of mine, and I'm so glad.
Good morning and welcome to Holding Fast the Faithful Word, a radio ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church, right here in the small town of Auburn. This is Pastor Tim. We're in Philippians chapter 1 this morning, the book of Philippians chapter 1. This book was written approximately A.D. 61. It is said that the church at Philippi was started during Paul's second missionary journey. As you know, Paul went on three missionary journeys. He was extremely busy. This is also known as a prison epistle. This is one of four letters that Paul wrote while he was in prison. Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon were the other three. And so it's important to understand the backdrop to the writing of these letters. And when we talk about the title of the message today, The Furtherance of the Gospel, his imprisonment adds more weight to what is being said here and the challenges that come our way. One of the things that we have to come to terms with as believers is that we are no longer our own. When we got saved, it is understood that we have been bought with a price, and we are no longer our own. We belong to Christ. Paul, when he was put on his face, came up and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so Paul's immediate response, based on his change of heart, was, how can I serve the Lord? It didn't matter what the circumstances were. Paul wasn't meditating on how difficult the road ahead was going to be. All Paul knew at that moment in time was, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I think that's the right attitude that we as believers need to have. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then go. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the road ahead, regardless of the trials and tribulations and the adversity, you know that you are in the will of God and that whatever it is that he has called you to do, he is going to accomplish that through you with the Holy Spirit. There are many biblical characters. We can see this. Noah, for example. You say, well, what's Noah got to do with it? Noah preached for 120 years building an ark. Rest assured, Noah took a lot of flack from a lot of people. But in spite of those circumstances and in spite of that adversity, Noah continued to preach. Joseph is another one. Sold into slavery. But he didn't murmur, he didn't complain, he didn't dishonor God. He continued to do what he believed God wanted him to do, and he saved two nations. Same thing with Daniel and his friends. They served where they were at. They were taken captive. And they did everything that they knew to do that was right in the eyes of God. And of course, David, in his many trials, he never forgot God. And here we have Paul writing a letter while he's in prison, still remaining faithful to the call that God placed on his life. You know, we throw up our hands and we quit so easily. There's very little grit in Christianity today. As soon as the first wave of trouble comes our way, we throw up our hands and we walk away. You might be saying, well, how can you say that? What proof? Well, the proof is in the people that are no longer going to church. The proof is in the people that quit as soon as it got tough in church. Pastors that came up against some adversity in the church quit. Congregation, members of the congregation, newly saved, those that have been saved a while. The church goes through some trials and some tribulations and some hardships and some challenges come their way. Throw up their hands and quit. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care for me. God's taken his hand of blessing off me. I'm going to go in my corner in my safe space and have a little pity party. Rather than putting your shoulder to it and with God's help working through it. And so let's read beginning of verse number 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul is in prison. He is shackled to a guard. There are four watches. So there's four times in a day that there is a new guard that Paul is chained to. Paul's ministry philosophy, I guess, if I could sum it up, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. You would do well to take heed to Paul's words. It didn't matter what Paul's circumstances were, and if you read of the many trials and tribulations that Paul endured, he ceased not to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here's a man, he's in prison. He's shackled to a Roman guard, and he's preaching the gospel. Look at what it says in verse 13. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. We can learn important lessons from the Apostle Paul concerning fortitude and grit in spite of the many trials and tribulations that a believer can go through. He said in verse number 12, he said, but I would ye should understand, brethren. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. All things work together. Please understand that what I'm going through is for the furtherance of the gospel. We can easily get discouraged in the faith. We can easily get discouraged by what we see other people go through, as in the case with Paul. We can easily get discouraged when we see other people who are enduring some physical trials or enduring some financial trials. Maybe we listen to some of these missionaries who are enduring their own trials as well. But don't get discouraged. All things work together. You know, what may seem as a setback to some is actually an opportunity for God. Let me repeat that. What may seem as a setback to some is actually an opportunity for God. And I'll share a testimony with you. As a pastor, I've had the opportunity to go on hospital visitation. In most cases, it is a saint of God that's going through surgery or having some physical issues. It could be any number of things. And in all these cases, the situation is bad. I mean, who wants to spend their time in a hospital with all those buzzers and beeping and nurses coming in and you got a, an irritated roommate, they're going through some things, and it's just a lot of commotion and distraction. There's really no alone time. It's not a comfortable place, and then you take into consideration the reason they're there. And in most cases, when I've gone on visitation, the people that I have visited, church members, they have had opportunity where they wouldn't otherwise have it to share the gospel. Nurses are constantly changing shift, aren't they? Doctors, new doctors are coming in. You've got the folks coming in with the food from the cafeteria. You've got family that's coming in maybe to visit. And there's opportunities there to share the gospel. This is an adverse situation, but it's an opportunity for God to work through you to share the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ with those people, with that staff, and with family. Paul took this as an opportunity. I'm going to share the gospel. So every guard that I get chained to, I'm sharing the gospel with them. Everybody that passes by, this guard can't get rid of Paul. Paul's not going anywhere, and Paul's not shutting up. He's going to keep going. He's going to sing praises. He's going to preach the word of God. He's all in. Important lessons that we can learn from Paul's circumstances that'll help us out. What we have to learn to do as believers is stop crying and having a pity party and going to our safe spaces when we have a little bit of adversity come up in our life. Ministry work overall is hard work. And it's hard for a reason. God wants us to rely on Him. God wants us to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us strength and wisdom to do the work that He's called us to do. If you go to work in a factory, let's assume they're going to give you all the tools needed to do your job effectively. They might give you headgear and boots and coveralls and tools. They'll give you a manual to tell you how to do a particular thing, procedures, and so forth. They're not going to just put you out there and leave you hanging. But God said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't leave us without a manual. He didn't leave us without the right tools. He didn't leave us without the strength, that is to say, the Holy Spirit of God. If we take to having a pity party every time something comes our way, or every time our circumstances are less than ideal, then we're going to miss out on some opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, not only does the furtherance of the gospel come into view here, Paul's imprisonment, that is, but what it does to other believers. Notice what he says here. He said in verse number 14, he said, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. This is a young church. This is a young church. There's persecution everywhere. They're just trying to get settled down, get some things right, and do some things for the Lord. And Paul's in prison. What do we do? Do we stop preaching? Do we go into our hiding? What do we do? No, they waxed bold. Paul came back with a good report. Even though I'm chained to this guard, I'm preaching the gospel, and all the palace heard about Jesus. Wow, Paul's really on fire for the Lord. He's chained up to that Roman guard, but he's still preaching. If Paul can do it, then so can I. It is amazing. People today, they oh, we don't need to go to church and we don't need to be involved and all that stuff. Look, when people come to church and they see the activity and they see God's people working, they're emboldened to get involved in the work. You take a team of people out street preaching or knocking on doors or sharing the gospel, and there's always the few, and probably the young believers, that are a little bit more timid in sharing the gospel and talking about the Lord and showing things from the Bible and so forth, and that's understandable. But you get a saint that's you know really dialed in and just been doing it for years, is bold, articulate, can show from the scriptures how to be saved. And, you know, the younger Christian sees that and says, I can do that. Now, you think about those in the church. Now, when you talk about circumstances and trials and adversity and all of that stuff, you know what? The child of God that's sold out for the Lord, that's going through adversity but not complaining about it, not whining about it, but trusting in the Lord and having confidence in their faith and being bold in sharing the gospel and not allowing their circumstances to overwhelm them or take them out of the ministry, that gives confidence to other people. You know how many times it's happened and I've seen it here with the people in the church, you know, somebody's going in for surgery, a particular surgery, and it's a new person going in, and they're just nervous about the whole thing, going under anesthesia and all of that, and what's going to happen, how long am I going to be out, and how long's my recovery going to be? And then somebody comes along and says, oh, yeah, I went through that. It's a piece of cake. It's a walk in the park. You have no trouble at all. Oh, really? Okay. And they have a little more confidence as they go into the surgery. And that's the same thing in Christianity. Whatever trial there is, you're handling it in the right way, in the way that brings honor and glory to God, will certainly embolden others to do the same thing, to wax confident by these things. You know, wax confident in the message, wax confident in persecution, wax confident in the Lord. I mean, really, when you think about it, preachers need to be confident from the pulpit. And I believe that will equate to confident believers. A Bible rejecter, a Bible doubter will only create Bible rejectors and Bible doubters. We have to be confident in the message. A man is saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in no other way. You have to be confident during persecution, and you have to have confidence in the Lord. And do so without fear, without any trepidation, just standing to it and bringing honor and glory to God, seeing souls saved, and getting more of the saints of God involved in ministry through your confidence. And that's one thing that Paul certainly conveyed to the early church, particularly the church here at Philippi. Now, Paul goes on to say in verse number 15, he said, some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. One preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So there's basically two types of people that you're going to run into. There are those who will fuss and fight because of the way God is using you. Their only goal, not to share the gospel, their only goal is to make matters worse for you. There are people in ministry that will do that. There are churches that will fight with other churches and pastors that will fight with other pastors. Why? Because of envy. And so as they ramble off and ramble off and ramble off, their hope and point and purpose is to try and bring the other guy down. Same thing happens in Christianity. It happens in local churches all over America, all over the world for that matter. One Christian's called to do something but refuses to do it but doesn't want to see the other Christian step up to the plate and do it. And so envy enters onto the scene and, you know, there's all kind of discord and fussing and fighting and everything else. You know, it happens, especially outside of the church realm. You know, somebody goes home and starts, you know, talking to the family and mouthing off and everything else about sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so singing in the choir or playing on the piano or getting involved or starting a ministry in the church. You know, the reality it is, as Paul pointed out here, these people are supposing to add affliction to his bonds, but the reality of it is, the gospel's still going out. The gospel's still going out. Look what he says in verse 18. He says, "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." Oh, so you know what happens? They go outside of the church setting, and they start talking about the Lord and start talking about you in the same context, and you know, it's all negative, but they're still mentioning the Lord. They're still mentioning the Lord. And people are picking up on that. And they may, down the road, do a little inquiry to find out what that's all about. And as a result, they may end up getting saved. And then, of course, there are those of goodwill, which is verse number 17, the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And I think that's the place where we need to be. We need to be supportive of one another's ministry. We need to be understanding. We need to understand that it's not a competition. Too much competition. It's not about how many you run in Sunday school. It's not about how many buses you run. It's not about how many souls you won. That type of stuff is wicked as far as I'm concerned. You know, well, you won 100 souls and you only won 5, so I'm more spiritual than you. That's nonsense is what that is. How about getting behind a brother and sister that's stepping up and starting to serve in the ministry? How about getting behind a brother or sister that's going through some adversity and some trials and encouraging them? You know, there's a start. Hey, can I be an encouragement to you? You want to go out for fellowship? You need me to pray for you for something? How can I help you? You know, we want to go out for a coffee or whatever. Just find a way to be an encouragement to them, not try to take them down or take them out. You know, the Bible says we're to strive together in unity. You know, a house divided cannot stand, and the adversary understands that. And that is one of his chiefest tactics in splitting churches and halting the advance of Christianity. A house divided cannot stand. It is important for the local church to be united. United, obviously, behind the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. United behind the Bible as the only authority in all matters of faith and practice. Be united behind sound doctrine, to be united behind the gospel commission. And I understand there's differences that come up, and I understand discussions and all that stuff, and I get it. I'm not interested in that. There's, in some cases, a purposeful intent to ruin a person or to ruin a ministry, and that is shameful. It is wicked. It's ungodly. And it is a reproach to Christianity. It affects many. And that's the kind of thing that really needs to stop. Paul says here, look, this happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. I am here. These circumstances are what they are. But it has not prevented me from preaching Christ and Him crucified. The challenge with this message today is don't allow our circumstances to limit our ability to be used by God. We want to look at our circumstances as opportunities for God to work through us. Be sure to tune in next week. Take care, and may the Lord richly bless you.